This is Full Ride on ESPNU Radio, Sirius XM 84. Here's Chris Childers and Rick Neuheisel.
We are back here. It is Full Ride on this glorious day, Friday. Chris Childers, Rick Neuheisel. We're getting geared up for the weekend, but Rick Neuheisel, there's still more to talk about, my friend. And let's talk about this incredible documentary that's going on right now at Ball State. It's called Transatlantic Storytelling 2020. And the guy behind it, Chris Taylor, Ball State Director of Digital Sports Production, the documentary producer, is on with us right now. I know we had a lot of great students working on this with him. Chris, good to have you, man. I know it's a bizarre time in this world, but I'll ask anyway, how you been doing?
Hey, happy Friday, guys. It's things are crazy out here in the Midwest, too. But we're doing well. And this project you're speaking of, certainly has been a good thing to keep us working and keep us sane over the last few months.
How did it come to pass that Ball State would have a relationship with Cardiff Metropolitan University in Cardiff, Wales?
It's a great question, and and the answer is pretty simple. My my colleague in Cardiff Met, now my colleague, but at the time we didn't know each other. His name is Joe Towns, and Cardiff Met University was about to start a sports media program at their university, and there was none other in the UK, a university doing this. So they did the old Google search, and they found myself and my program at Ball State. We're the first four-year academic digital sports production program in the United States. So we connected, and we started sharing some planning and some prep and some pedagogy around how we built our course. So they could start to build their course, and that just continued to blossom into now this exchange where we had some students travel to Wales earlier this year.
I want to stop you right there, and we'll get back into the documentary in a second. You have a four-year sports production program at Ball State. Now, I remember when I was a kid and I was trying to find a good place to go to school because I want to do sports journalism. It was like I could study to be a newscaster, but there was nothing specifically for sports, and I kind of had to fill in the gaps on my own. I had to volunteer to call games on the radio. For the campus TV station, I was volunteering to do whatever, but nobody was training me on it. Give me some more info. Like, this is fantastic for kids out there, because I was a kid that loved sports radio and really wanted to do it, but wasn't sure how to get there. Give me more info on the sports production program going on at Ball State, because that's awesome.
We're very, very excited about it. It's a program that I was able to kind of launch off the ground and have built it into, I hope, a program that's respected. And we attract students from all over the United States now, which is awesome. And it is, it's a degree, a concentration within our department of TCOM at Ball State University, where you can come in and from day one as a freshman, you are immediately immersed into sports media and sports production. And that was important to us to have freshmen from day one get involved, because we know too that there are schools out there where you may have to wait a couple of years before you can get involved in an area of your interest or touch equipment or touch cameras and those sorts of things. And that was a big point for us to start at from day one when they arrived to campus. So we built it out. You know, there's elements of sports journalism. There's elements of sports broadcasting. As a former college athletics SID and marketing person in a previous life, there are elements of sports management and sports marketing. But then the primary emphasis is on sports production, creating content, creating digital content, producing live events. We partner with ESPN and ESPN Plus primarily. It's awesome. It really is.
It's fantastic. That really Chris, is. That's so cool.
Chris, we're on ESPNU Radio. It sounds like you're majoring in ESPNU, and whether it's television, radio, and so forth. Is there a nexus with the athletic department there at Ball State? Do you have relationships with the teams there so that you can broadcast what's going on there on campus, or is this all separate?
No, it is. We are a very close partnership with them. So while, my students are students and they're in the College of Communication, Information, and Media, obviously the subject of our of all of our productions and stories are student athletes and coaches at Ball State. So we're treated, and in a sense, we're treated as the production house for Ball State Athletics. You know, within reason, we're still students, and they have other things to do too. But yeah, we tell amazing feature stories on our student athletes. You know, the guys at E60, Ben Hauser, Martin Kay, Tom Rinaldi, all those guys are good friends and mentors to our program too. So we love telling those kinds of stories.
Cool.
So yeah, it's a great opportunity. And then through ESPN, we're a production partner school with them. So we'll do events that will, you know, end on ESPN3 or ESPN+, all produced by students in every position, which is just amazing. I'm very proud of that.
I'm really into this. I love this conversation. I love what you guys are doing. I think that's really cool. Chris Taylor is our guest, Ball State Director of Digital Sports Production, documentary producer for Transatlantic Storytelling 2020, the website transatlanticstorytelling.com. I want to know, let's set the scene, because you guys, your students were out there and they produced feature stories on Welsh athletes at Cardiff Metropolitan University in Cardiff, Wales. I want to know, like, if you could just set the scene before we get into, you know, some of the nuts and bolts of the actual documentary. What is the college experience like in Wales? What was learned there? Because, you know, in America, college football Saturdays are everything, you know, basketball games in the wintertime are part of the heartbeat of campus, the fraternities, the sororities. We all know the American college scene, right? It's like Animal House, but tamed, hopefully, on a college campus near you. But what's it like over there? Like, what is the importance of college sports? Are there big team events that people are gathering to watch, like we have with football and basketball? What is the athletic scene like collegially over there?
Yeah, I would say collegially, it's much, much different than what we have here in the United States. At Cardiff Metropolitan University specifically, they certainly have athletics, and they do get fans to attend those events. But when you're in Wales, it's much more about the nationality and trying to get to the level of competing for Wales as a nation, representing Wales in, you know, like the Commonwealth Games or into certain forms of Europe competition at a almost professional level. Right. So a lot of the athletes at Cardiff Met are really high level athletes who are getting an education, but in a sense, using the facilities and the amazing facilities, frankly, to train to get to that level of representing their country. Much more nationalism there than we have here. And then obviously size, you know, size of the university is much smaller. The crowd sizes at events, at college events anyway, would be smaller. You know, they rally around their national rugby team. They rally around their professional soccer or football team. Mm-hmm. Those are events where, like, if those teams are playing, the country, the city, they shut down. The pubs are packed, and there's this chanting and joyous celebration, win or lose, around their national teams. And I think that's the thing that we really saw that was much different than what we have, for sure.
You've got a list of athletes that you focus on. Sam Gordon's the fastest man in Wales. Jenny Nesbitt is a distance runner. You've got rugby players. And then I get down to Lydia Hitchings, a student in Cardiff Met School of Art and Design, who grew up playing netball. What the heck is netball?
What is netball? I was going to ask the same
thing. That is the question that we all asked as we were going in. But you know what, Coach, that was something where we wanted to, part of going into this project is we wanted to be introduced to sports that we don't have in the United States. So rugby for sure, cricket for sure, and then netball. And netball is the largest girls' youth sport in Wales and in a lot of the UK, honestly. It's a lot like basketball, but there is technically no contact and no dribbling. You're shooting a ball into a net with no backboard on each end of the court. You can only pass the ball. I think there's 7 players on a team, and there's only one person who's allowed to score on each team. So you have to get the ball into the area where this scorer is. And Lydia Hitchings, who's the subject of one of our features, is the scorer, and she is now a professional netball player, much like what I just talked about, trying to represent Wales at the Commonwealth Games and at the highest level possible in netball. It's an incredible sport, and it is something that's very, very popular among, you know, young women in Wales.
Well, I'm sold on the documentary. June 30th, 3 p.m. Eastern time, transatlanticstorytelling.com, because that, I've never in my lifetime heard of this netball, and you just described the rules. I thought maybe it was just going by a different
name. You wanted it to be Quidditch. You wanted it to be Quidditch.
Well, no, I just thought it would be something that I like was familiar with that just went by a different name. What he just described, I've never seen. I have no idea what that looks like. I'm going to YouTube it probably here in a minute just to see. So I'm in. Just to watch the documentary for that alone, that sounds awesome. Pretty cool. Yeah, that's awesome. So very June good. 30th, how can we watch it June 30th?
The digital world premiere, we're calling it on June 30th. You can follow any of our SportsLink social media accounts at BSU SportsLink. We're going to premiere it live on social media at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesday through Facebook, Twitter, any at BSU SportsLink social media. And we picked that time because that's 8 p.m. in Wales. So we're hitting the primetime audience nice. In Wales.
Chris Childers asked you, you know, how did you come up with this idea? He was looking for something like this when he was looking around for universities. Are there a bunch of universities contacting you to find out how they can develop this kind of program on their campuses?
Coach, there's, we're getting a lot of contact about those things. And I think, you know, what you're going to see in many ways, I think through this COVID situation too, is, you know, there's going to be a dependence on live sports production, probably, perhaps with the lack of, you know, fans in attendance potentially. So, you know, a lot of schools are being tasked with trying to do more and more of their own types of broadcasts, which is exactly what, you know, what we're doing through the ESPN model. And so, yeah, there are schools doing it and asking us. But what we find is most schools are trying to find classes or programs, you know, to get camera operators or to create a class so that they have the staff or the students to just man an event. Where we have, you know, kind of the 4-year thing, and storytelling is really the foundation of everything we do, whether it's a live event or a documentary like this, or even a 30-second social media hype video. So I think as long as we're focused on storytelling and we have all the other aspects, we'll continue to separate ourselves from others. But it is definitely growing, and I'm glad that we were ahead of that curve.
It's really cool. It really is. Chris Taylor, our guest, Ball State Director of Digital Sports Production, documentary producer for Transatlantic Storytelling. Go check it out, transatlanticstorytelling.com. I'm curious, because you're a unique guest on this show. We typically have coaches or players or you know, athletic directors or media types or somebody, but you're an actual person that's teaching these kids on campuses, and your role is huge. What's going on as far as, you know, getting the next generation educated and all that stuff? But what was it like for you with the pandemic? Because I feel like we've asked so many different coaches, and they've told us how bizarre it was, whether they coach basketball or baseball or whatever, depending on the timing of their sport. Like baseball was in midseason, that gets aced. Basketball was in postseason, that gets aced. But for a professor that is teaching kids, and kids are trying to graduate and all that, what was it like for you trying to navigate through all that?
Yeah, bizarre was a good word that you used that I would echo. I think one of the craziest things about this project that we're talking about today, too, is that we returned from Wales to the United States on March 9th, which was, you know, 48 hours, 72 hours until the shutdown, basically, and the things that started happening across the world. And then 2 days after we were back on campus, our students were forced into remote learning, and they left campus. And that was, you know, we still had 7-8 weeks of the semester left. So to be honest, when that happened, we were like, okay, we'll be back in a week. We'll be back in 2 weeks. We'll let this go through. And then we were realizing that, okay, we might be back for a little bit in April. And then we're like, okay, we're not going to be back until the fall, hopefully in the fall. It was tough because, you know, for me personally, I would consider myself much more of an athletics guy, a coaching type role, if you will. Mm-hmm. So not being around your team. And, you know, I kind of enjoy the success of our students and working with them and sitting beside them and editing with them and telling them stories and trying to make them better. And when that was gone, not just from the students, but, you know, for me as a professor, it was tough to adjust to for all of us. And I think many of us are still adjusting, just like everyone else who's probably listening, we're trying to adjust. And then the question is, how is it going to look in the fall? Will we be back with face-to-face? Will there be this hybrid model of face-to-face instruction and online instruction? And then with the recent news, you know, of outbreaks and cases rising, you know, there's the question of, well, will that happen at all? What will teaching look like? So it is very, very bizarre. And to me, the toughest part is just not having your students around you.
Yeah.
You can do virtual classes and you can do virtual lessons. And, you know, maybe that works for, you know, no offense to the math or the history or some of the other teachers that are out there who may be listening. Maybe that works. But for a creative production type group, those classes aren't very good online.
Sure.
So we're hoping we get back to something normal soon.
Yeah, got to be hands-on, no doubt about that. Chris Taylor is our guest from Ball State. My final thing for you is, I was looking at some of the profiles you guys had for the documentary. Give us a little background on Dr. Christian Edwards. Now, this guy was the soccer coach there. I saw in the notes that he collapsed on the pitch like 6 months later. Give us, because this to me sounds like it's going to be a fascinating tale. Give us a little background.
We got to follow Coach Edwards, prior to going over and get to know about him. He was a professional soccer player, in the UK. Mm-hmm. He has obviously his doctorate, so he's not just a coach. He's a professor, a lecturer, a doctor, and teaching classes on sports psychology and all these other things. He's a fascinating individual, number one. And then number two, last year, they have the Europa League, which is a very high level of professional soccer. And Cardiff Met University, as a group of students, qualified for the Europa League and played. It was like the $200,000 bonus for the unpaid students to play in this tournament against professionals. It was unheard of and got global coverage a year ago. And then they advanced. They lost in the second round, I believe it was. And as he was starting the new season in 2019-20, he was out on the practice pitch about 6 months, 6 months after the high of being in this champions level soccer, back to work, was having some chest pains that day. But as he says in the documentary, like most men do, they just kind of shrugged it off. He had to go coach his team. And he went to kick a ball and show a ball in practice. And he kicked it and he had a heart attack on the pitch in front of his players. It's a remarkable story, and then how he's come back from that, but yet his focus has changed maybe a little bit after that health scare, but he's still coaching, and I think still wants to try to get back to that level where they were just at a year ago and maybe last and play a few more games at that level in the league. But they have a remarkable soccer team, or football team in their terms, at Cardiff Met, and he was just a remarkable individual with so much knowledge and fun to be around. And you just knew that when he talked, you just absorbed what he was saying because he was so good, right? It's a cool piece.
I'm eager to check it out. I really am. I think that sounds really cool. Chris Taylor is our guest, Ball State Director of Digital Sports Production. He's the documentary producer for Transatlantic Storytelling 2020. Go to the website, transatlanticstorytelling.com, to check it out. It debuts June 30th. Chris, a lot of fun, man. Thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, great. Thanks for letting me spend part of my Friday with you guys. Thank you again.
Hey, right. Chris. Good
awesome
luck.
Awesome stuff. Chris Taylor, Ball State Director of Digital Sports Production. That was a blast. I enjoyed that. I think it's really neat. And I'm excited to watch the documentary.
I hope that school's cool. I hope Wales is now going to come and cover the Ball State football Cardinals this year.
Be kind of cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah. See they basketball should be basically doing the same thing.
Football, yeah.
Learning what goes on college campuses here in the United States, in Muncie, Indiana, if you will.
I'm fascinated by this netball thing. Like
netball.
What? I just pulled it up. So it does look like basketball, but doesn't look like basketball.
No dribbling. And only one person can shoot?
Yeah, it's like
Steph Curry should be a netball player.
Right? Steph Curry would be the greatest netballer of all time. Like Michael Jordan would have nothing on Steph Curry. But it's just, yeah, it's wild. The whole thing is, and I've never in my lifetime heard of netball. And yet Lydia Hitchings has made it her life's goal to be a participant in the 2022.
You've been a nutball your whole life, but not a nutball.
Been a nutball, yeah. Never a netballer. All right. So we got Allie's Wonderful World of Football. We'll get into the latest in the world of football as per the name. And we'll do it next right here. It's Full Ride.